This snow of ours, what an introduction for this message. We just have to say it. You know those things in life, and this is really funny to me because I was going to speak on this, so I'm not calling anybody out. There's a few people who today they told me about the troubles they have of the day, whatever they were. I do want to speak a little bit about trouble. Now, I'm not speaking about the trouble that has to do with, you know, the day-by-day stuff that we think is so big, but it really isn't. Do you know what I mean? I'll give you an example. A few weeks ago, I had a month ago, my car was having some problems, and I brought it in. Oh, man, you know, I was not in a good mood about it because my car is under warranty, and I've got to go back and forth and do all of this stuff. And it was under warranty. Praise God, it was under warranty. It really wasn't that big of a trouble. I just had to go take it in. You know what I mean? Now, sometimes people, like I was very crabby about it for about a day and a half. They had my car for 3 days. And what am I being so crabby about this for? What's the big deal? It's just my car getting repaired for free. I mean, it's really hard to complain about that. And sometimes we do that. You know, it's just a life thing. And it gets so big to us. Do you know what I'm talking about? The mountain out of a molehill, I think that's the expression. Oh, it's so big. Oh, I can't believe it, you know. And really, we look at it, we're like, what's the big deal? It's not a big deal. Now, sometimes, though, there are really big things in life. They are big mountains. We don't make them out of a molehill. They're just big mountains, and there are the big things. I think those are kind of few and far between, really. Sometimes you talk to people, you think they have a mountain every other day, the way they talk about it. You know what I mean? How's life? Oh, man. Oh, I got a bill. It's really not. But there are mountains, though. And they do occur in life. And some people do seem to get them more often than others, but we all get them. We all get them. I'm going to read these. I'm going to go through these relatively quickly here. There's a few slides, but here's some mountains. This is Paul talking. And it's a bit of a passage, but this is really a mountain. Well, let's see. Catch the theme as I read. Are they servants of Messiah? I am more so. I speak like I'm out of my mind, in labors much more, in prisons much more. I'm working harder. I'm going to prisons more, in beatings more brutal. I'm getting beatings near death often. I am getting beat, and I'm near death often. He's got a really problem. Seuss is here. 24, five times from the Jewish leaders, I've received 40 lashes minus one. That's a lot of whips. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I suffered a shipwreck. Night and day I spent in open sea, just bobbing in the water there. In my many journeys, I have been in dangers from rivers, dangers from robbers, dangers from my countrymen, dangers from Gentiles. That covers everybody in the world, by the way, his people and the other people in the world. He's got people problems everywhere. The dangers in the city, dangers in the desert, dangers in the sea, dangers among false brothers, in labor and hardship, through many sleepless nights, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. Beside these things, there is daily pressure on me of concern for all Messiah's communities. I still have to make decisions. I still have to help people. I still have to do my ministry and these other things while I'm navigating all these other things. His mountain to me, and I don't know if you agree, his mountain is he's pressing with the Lord so hard, his trials are related to the Lord. He can see that. And if he wasn't following the Lord, he wouldn't have these types of trials. He would have different mountains, different issues. He wouldn't be with the Lord. But in this case, he's pressing into the ways of the Lord, and he's got problems because of it. Sometimes we can have a mountain in life. I mean, a real mountain, not a small thing, a real mountain out of pressing in with the Lord. One mountain I remember, it's not my mountain, it's my dad's mountain. When my dad gave his life to the Lord, he was the last out of our family at the time. It's my mom, dad, and me. And when he did, as a good Jewish boy, a mountain was how the rest of the family, the Jewish family, was going to receive him. And it was a bumpy road. And if you want details, you got to see him. I just use his mountain as an example. I won't give you the details. He'll give you the details. You like that? I just put you out there. But that's a mountain. Sometimes we press into the Lord. We get a mountain. We tell people about the Lord. And we lose friends. I don't know if that's ever happened to anybody here. There's a bummer in that. Paul just lays out this amazing list. That guy, that's amazing. So one mountain could be what we do with the Lord. Another mountain, Habakkuk. though the fig tree does not blossom and there is no yield in the vines, though the olive crop fail and the fields produce no food, the flock is cut off from the fold, and there is no cattle like this in the stalls. He said, yet will I rejoice in the Lord. If I have no job, if I have no economy, if I have no food, any of those can be a mountain. Have you, any of you, and this is, you don't have to answer this, but have you lost a job suddenly? That is an immediate mountain. It's good to have food. It's good to have a paycheck. True? My grandpa used to say this all the time. My dad probably knows what I'm going to say before I say it. Rich or poor, it's good to have money. It's true. But a mountain can be no money, no food. And some of you have had that. You've had no food or no money in life and no income, no prospects for it. And I don't mean when you're a young adult, you know, trying to figure out what to do in life. I mean once you're established in life and you lose that. Other countries, you know, third world nation believers, especially second world nations. And yeah, even here in America, of course, there are believers of the mountain that have, they're just in a poor area. They're just not gonna have much. So food or economics can be a mountain. Another mountain, this is a big one. Oh, this causes divisions in communities of faith all over the place, especially in Western society. This is Paul, and he writes in both of these cases, and both times in Timothy, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, about these two sick men, one of them being Timothy. And here's the mountain. It's health. Health can be a mountain. But what's fascinating to me is how many believers say, well, you're not healed because of your faith, your lack of faith. Don't you think Paul probably prayed for these two men? Is that not a reasonable thing? Yet they were ill. Sometimes we just get ill. We just don't have good health. Our bodies don't work the same way. That's just the way it goes. That doesn't mean God doesn't love us. It's just a mountain of having to navigate and deal with that. And some, the damage is when people from the outside, other believers say, well, you're sick, it's your own fault. Oh, man. Anybody ever known somebody? You don't have to, don't put your hand up. But there are those wacko beliefs out there. Like, just think about the silliness of this. Just the common sense of how crazy it is to think that we get sick and we're not healed because of our faith. I mean, strictly because of that. Do they think that we're born and we're going to die a ripe old age with no physical ailments? Do they think that our teeth won't fall out? That we won't lose our sight? Those people who say that, do you understand my point? Our bodies just fade out. And sometimes we get sick and we're not healed. It's okay. But it's still a mountain for us to deal with. One more mountain. At my first defense, this is Paul talking, no one stood by me. There we go. We could practically stop there with a mountain. Has anybody ever felt isolated? I mean, in the soul isolated. You may not have. I think everybody probably has. There is nothing like isolation. But we read on here. No one stood by me. Instead, they all deserted me. May it not be counted against them. He didn't have a problem with them. They just left him, though. That the Lord stood by me and strengthened me so that through me the message might be proclaimed in full measure and all the nations might hear, and I was rescued from the lion's mouth. The Lord took care of it, he's saying. The Lord took care of it. But I stood alone. Isolation is a huge mountain for people. Maybe you're in a period right now. Here you are in a room of people, and yet you feel like you're utterly alone. Totally alone. That is a mountain. Amen? Another form of isolation could be grief. Grief is a horrible mountain. When it's real grief, when there's somebody who's lost, you know, it's interesting how it can be a boomerang years after they're gone. You know, there's the initial grief, and some of you have gone through this, you know what I'm talking about. There's an initial loss of somebody important to you in your life. A spouse, a child, a parent, a great friend. I mean, somebody exclusively important to you that you have a very close relationship with. And there's the grieving when they pass. And it might take some time. Everybody processes differently. And you think things are fine, though, 10 years later. And then you hear a song. Or a holiday comes. or you see a show, or something in a box. That's a mountain. Isolation, grief, mountain, mountain, mountain. There are big, big things that we navigate through. Thanksgiving was just on us. I think this is, you know, I talked a little bit about this last week. I think this is a bittersweet season for a lot of people. Some people it's just bitter, or maybe some people it's just sweet, but there certainly is a bittersweet element to it that we all can understand. If you're not going in through a mountain experience right now, if this might be not so bad of a season. Maybe the season itself reminds you of the mountain. I don't know. Last week I spoke on us being family through this time. Today, on the other side of Thanksgiving, I would like to just recognize what it takes to persevere with the Lord through this time. Because some of you in the room are in this mountain season. So what does it take to persevere with him through these terrible mountain eras? And again, I don't mean just the day-by-day distractions of life. When your car breaks down, you get a flat tire. When you go outside, you realize you have mismatched socks on. Has that ever happened to anybody else? There's a few of us. Yeah, it's awkward. I've shared my most awkward experience professionally here before. I thought it was a mountain when it first happened to me. I'll tell you what it is, and then I'll get to it. I was giving a presentation at my old corporate job, and I was the featured speaker of three speakers. I was the keynote. I was for a whole department. So it was by invitation, and they were all gathered, and these two speakers were to set me up before me, and they were both, they had good careers, and they had a lot to offer, and they were high up the corporate food chain. And here I come, the featured, the keynote speaker, the one to deliver the main part of the what this whole group has been working toward for months before I got there. And I was the big wrap-up for all of it. So I got up in my money suit. You know what I'm talking about? Not just a suit, but your best suit, you know? And I start to speak, and I go through my presentation in the beginning, first part of it, and I see some people in the back of the room, kind of some guys at a table, kind of smiling, looking at each other, smiling. I see some other people looking away. As the presentation's going on, I'm feeling more and more awkward, you know? But I stay to my task. I focus on what needs to be said. I deliver it. The person who invites me, executive vice president. So again, she's thank you very much, but she doesn't hardly acknowledge me. And I leave and I walk down the hall and I think, oh, gee, I hope that went all right, but it felt weird. And I look down on my dark suit. I see that my fly was open. The whole time. And my awkward. At the time, I thought it was a mountain. Honestly, it really wasn't. I wouldn't say it helped my career. But God took care of me. And, you know, I pray for that verse, you know, that the blind would not see. Wait, how does that go? You know what I mean. So how do we persevere through these mountains? How do you do it? Man, we're all going to be in them. If we're not in it now, we're going to be in it. That's just the way it goes. Some of you have been in it and come through, and you know you're going to go back. How are we going to do it? How are we going to persevere? How are we going to do it? Here we go. Oop, wrong way. Don't go that. Don't get sick. David gives us our first clue. So David is in a cave. We know in this passage he's writing from these caves. David went to caves two times for refuge. The caves of Adullam, and there was a different set of caves in Tears, Valley of Tears. Anyway, two times with caves. And he's writing in the caves. He'd been on a retreat, and this is one of his cave writing experiences. So we know this is a mountain time. He's not in his home. He fled. You see, he fled. This is a terrible time. It's not just a bad day. It's a mountain experience. And he says, he's writing to the Lord. It's a poem, really. It's interesting to kind of just look, is this a poem or a song? And what do theologians think? They don't know. There's no consensus to it. Just because it's in Psalms, they don't know that it is a psalm, but it's either a poem or a poem that was sung. Either way, it's a heavy thing. Let all that I am praise the Lord. With my whole heart, I will praise his name. Here's this guy and the lamb in caves. He's hiding in caves. I will praise the Lord. So he puts his will to it. Verse 2, let all that I am praise the Lord. May I never forget the good things he does for me. This is a guy in the caves. What good things can he be thinking of? He's in the caves. It's a kind of a funny thing to me. But now it starts to get, he starts to lay them out. What are these good things? Verse 3, he forgives all my sins and heals all my diseases. He forgives my sins and heals my diseases. Now, earlier I talked about physical healing, and some people will say you're not healed. There must be something you're not doing right because you're still sick. This disease is here is doesn't mean a necessarily a physical ailment. When he says diseases, he's talking about anything that's against him or anything that's against the land. For example, one passage in Jeremiah talks about disease in terms of a famine. Famine would be a form of disease. Now, we use the word disease today for physical ailments, but when he used the word disease back then, it meant anything that would be afflicting. Snowstorm could be a disease. We persevered today through our half inch of snow, and we made it, and we weathered a disease, according if we would apply it the way David is saying it here. So he's saying, the Lord heals my sins, and he rescues me from things that afflict me. Verse 4, he redeems me from death and crowns me with love and tender mercies. He fills my life with good things. My youth is renewed like the eagles. David's view of the Lord, what's he talking about here? He's talking about grace. David's acknowledging grace of the Lord, mercy of the Lord. The Lord's provision. We don't, sometimes in the mountain, it's hard to say, I'm so glad that my electricity bill is paid. In other words, I have this one thing. Sometimes it's hard to thank him for the details. So we thank him for big things, things that are bigger than our mountain. His grace is bigger than our mountain. His mercy is bigger than our mountain. Because we wouldn't even be going to him. Now, David willed himself to go to God, but he's recognizing the bigger things that God does. When we're in a mountain season, I mean, really facing a great big mountain, we thank God that he has grace, that he does things. He gives us things that we don't deserve, like grace. He gives us a grace, and so we don't have other things happen. It's really an amazing thing. Or is that mercy? Did I say that backwards? It's the snowstorm. It's throwing me off. But you know what I mean. What would we have? What would we have if we didn't have God's grace and mercy and daily provision? It wouldn't just be a mountain. It'd be a cliff. So if you're in that season, remember the grace. Deuteronomy. This is for Joshua. Joshua's going to take over from Moses. He's growing up under Moses. He's not a young man. He's learned how to be a leader for Moses and the basic framework of things. Deuteronomy 31:6, be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Let's customize this now. Be strong and courageous, Joshua. Don't be terrified or afraid of them. When you go out and you do what you're going to do, don't be afraid. For the Lord, for it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. If we're facing a mountain experience, we have to remember that God is with us. It doesn't matter if we feel it or not. There's this era of feely things. I don't understand feeling God. We have to believe God. We have to trust God. Very different than feely-feely God. I don't know where the doctrine of feely God comes in. You know what I'm talking about? I feel the Lord's presence. Well, good for you. He's here anyway. We had somebody a while ago come to Beth, a visitor, and say, well, you know, I feel like God's here. Great. And he said, it was your sister congregation, but I didn't feel God there. So we had a little correction conversation there. So, well, God's there. Well, I didn't feel him. I don't care. It's funny to me, this feely thing. We have to believe that he's there. If you're facing a mountain and you wonder where he is, just know that he is with you. Now, some of you, your mountain might be you were abandoned. At some point in your life, maybe somebody stopped loving you. Maybe somebody ditched you. I don't mean a friend. I mean somebody important in your life. Maybe they ditched you. And you might have some tin cans in your life because of it. It might make your mountain about isolation. You might be spending the rest of your life trying to understand the idea that God is in fact with you. But what a great thing to understand. It's a lifelong, worthy pursuit that He never leaves us and He never forsakes us. And it doesn't matter if we're going into a scary place in life or if we're going into a good place in life. He never leaves us and He never forsakes us. And His promises are yes and amen. Whether we feel it or not. Romans 5:3. We can rejoice, too, when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance, and endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. Here's what this means. I mean, let's be a little selfish about this. You're going through all of these things, and I'm going through things in my, we all go through things in our life. Some good days, some bad days, some big mountains, whatever. We go through these things, and He's working in us all the time. Do you know why it's so important for us to have Him working in us? Let's be selfish for a minute. Because our attitude is the one thing we can take to heaven. Our preparation here has impact there. And it helps here too. When my kids were little, we taught them how to have a work ethic, not because we cared if they really cleaned their room, but because we wanted, although there were times we did care. I'll own that. Their room smelled bad. But when we taught them when they were young, we wanted them to know a work ethic, so when they would get bigger, they would continue to have the work ethic. And that's just an illustration to say, look, God does things in us while we're young spiritually or, you know, at a certain age spiritually or wherever we're at. So He prepares us to understand more of Him. Someday we will be with Him. And however that looks up there, we don't know. We don't know the details, but we will be there. And our preparation here matters for there. But it also matters for here. So either way, if you're facing a mountain, it is not in vain. It comes back to play. Nobody wants to say you're going through trials, it'll help you in the long run. Nobody wants to hear that when they're going through those mountain experiences. But there is truth to it, and we are being developed for here and also for there. It's not a waste. It's not a waste. You know, there's probably the one experience that really leaps out to me, and I've spoken on this before, maybe some of you long-term Bethites remember this, was the story of Jacob. God made promises to Jacob, and they were very specific promises to Jacob. And then there's their whole book, when we're reading about Jacob, there's a whole turn where all of a sudden we start to read about his son Joseph and all of Joseph's experiences. And there's chapter after chapter after chapter, a lot of stack up the chapters about Joseph, and people forget that God still had made promises to Jacob. We forget when we read the Bible. So we read about Joseph and we just kind of, it's common for people to not think about Jacob's promises from God. And later on though, we see the fulfillment of promises to Jacob through Joseph. Now all of these things that happened in Jacob's life, and then it looks like God just ditched him. You know, oh, your son, he thinks his youngest son's dead, but that's not what happened at all. God just uses younger son to restore and bring promises to Jacob and to his line, his whole line. We think that God ditches us, makes some hard turn in our life sometimes, and we face these mountains. But then sometimes there are times in our life that we see years later that we needed to turn left with the Lord a little bit, because He has this way of bringing promises and fulfillment of promises in the strangest ways. But He'll turn us left to bring us back. He did that with Jacob and Joseph. Looked like Joseph was gone. He turned the whole story left. But then it came back. It was really about Jacob. We have that in our life. If you're facing a mountain, it's okay. I mean, hang in there. I mean, I'm not saying it's good, but He's going to do what He does. And some of you are going to see the turn back. And I don't, however that goes, I get a lot of questions about a lot of things, but He'll turn. Don't worry about anything. But in everything, through prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. To me, this is a two-part verse for us here this morning. Pray. If you're facing a mountain, pray. I know a number of people, when they face a mountain in their life, they stop praying. Prayer ceases. They just can't do it. Sometimes they feel so bad. Sometimes they're mad. Pray, 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 pray. That's the first part of this verse. Don't stop doing it. So many people walk from God in the hard times. They just walk away. They say, this terrible thing happened to me. X, Y, Z. I can't believe this. I have a mountain and I'm out. They never wake up and they say that, you know, directly. At least I don't know people who say it directly, but they just stop praying. And that's what steers them away from God. Keep praying. But then the part two of this verse, remember I said it's a two-part verse, pray. Part two is with thanksgiving. What? You're facing a mountain. What are we thankful for? The other things that God does. Remember how we started this. What are those? What is your grace? God, you have grace. God, Jacob's story, maybe you'll turn things back for me. You know, the great example in this, some of the greatest heroes of the faith in the history of the world are the ones that we've never heard of, the martyrs. They're still dying all over the place. In Africa, they're just getting annihilated. There's been killing of believers in Africa for years. South America, some of the islands, Indonesia, it's unbelievable. And they die for their faith. Talk about a mountain. When someone's going to kill you, they're looking at a mountain. What gets them through the mountain? The thanksgiving that they know they're going to be with them in paradise. We don't know how the mountains get torn down in our life, but we know we thank Him because He is still sovereign and His word is true and we're going to be all right. I don't know, that, you know, the bumpy road sometimes, they can be pretty bumpy. You get to that mountain, it's a bumpy road, you know what I mean? Any of you ever driven on a mountain road? You don't know where the divots are? I was on one in Nepal about a year ago. That was the scariest road I've ever been on. There would be parts of the road in this mountain road that had collapsed, and they continue to use it. And I'm in the car. Silvio, or this Nepali leader, would say, we'll be okay, but hold on. Okay. And we're good. The car's going like this, you know? It's okay if we're in a mountain road. He knows where we're going. We're not going to be surprised. He's not going to be surprised. Oh, I really missed on that person. Oopsie. He's going to get us there. Mountains are just mountains. But we stay faithful to Him, and we stay faithful with a thankful attitude, and we seek Him for help with a thankful attitude because we know He can do it. And there are times, I tell you, some of you will understand this, if you've ever tried to worship while grieving, it can be very difficult. The songs start, music starts, and your heart is flat. It's just flat. And so we start usually with an upbeat song, and it's an upbeat song, and it's almost like it's an out-of-body experience. You know, how do I sing these songs? So we hang in there through worship, and eventually, and it might take months of sitting in a worship service or sitting in the hall of a worship service, but after a while, we won't notice that swing so much. The key is, do we keep our eyes on the Lord? Don't let our emotions get a hold of us. Amen? We teach our emotions. If you're in a season right now of a mountain, not a bad engine, not my problem with my car. I mean a real mountain. You know you are. And I don't think it's everybody in the room. I don't know. Maybe it's not even half the room. But I'm going to pray for you here in just a minute. And just stay faithful. Stay to you. Who you know God is. Stay there. He'll be all right. We had and I've shared this before a couple years ago. It's the best illustration. It's been in my mind so much lately. A couple years ago, my dad and I went to a reunion. The place that sent us out in Alaska was having a reunion of all these of all the leaders that were sent out everywhere, the teams that were sent out or whoever. And we went to Oregon, I think just a couple years ago. And it was an interesting time. A lot of people were sharing. There was a microphone at one point, and a lot of people would share, and they would say things like, they were the best years of my life, you know, and they're the best times. They were reminiscing to those times we were in Alaska, and they were in Alaska before they went out, and they did whatever. And they would say, Alaska was the best time of my life, and God was moving here. It was so great. God was moving there. It was so great. And somewhere along the line, the mountain in their life got too big. They couldn't see that God wants to move where they currently were. All they were doing was talking about the best years of their life back there. God is still doing things in our life every day. He has new revelation. He wants to show more of himself. And he always has things he's calling us to. And at one point, maybe he's calling us to be with him, which is one great experience. But our best days have not been obliterated by the mountain. If you're in a mountain experience, hang in there. Yeah? Please stand up. Let's pray. Lord, you are the King and the Creator, and you are our sovereign Lord. And we are blessed to come to you. Lord, where do we start when we talk about mountains? It's best for us to talk about you and your promises. Help us remember, Lord, that you're bigger than these things. Help us frame our minds and our understanding to what it is to following you as King and as Sovereign. That you will walk us through, and you do teach us. Help us remember to pray with thanksgiving, Lord. Help us focus on the good things that we have with you. Help us remember that we're not alone. I pray for people right now who are facing a mountain. Maybe they're alone, maybe it's about health or money. Whatever their mountain is, God, we pray that they are refreshed in you and reaffirmed in you in a way that gives them great encouragement, even the kind of encouragement, Lord, that they can share. Thank you for this community, Lord. Help us be good family in caring for each other in these mountain times. We are blessed to be your children. You are good. L'shem Yeshua. Amen. Yovarech Adonai v'yishmerecha. Ye'er Adonai panav aliyecha vihunecha. Yasei Adonai panav aliyecha v'yaseim lacha shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. Be blessed. We need each other. The mountains, they'll go away.